Our scripture text for this morning's lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and for now, verse 6. Exodus 20 and verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Once again, good morning. We are honored to have you here. Thank you so much for seeing fit to be with us as we are continuing doing what God has commanded for us to do, worshiping Him in truth and in spirit as we continue throughout this new year in our lives, being faithful to Him. I do want to go ahead and extend an invitation for you to come back tonight at 5:30. We will examine Psalm 137 as we're climbing our way through that beautiful book of Old Testament poetry. So I hope you can be here for that. And before we get into our lesson, I want to give you three things that I love to see at church or here at church. Are you ready? This is nothing to do with the lesson, just a last-minute observation. Number one, I love to hear the sound of Bible pages turning. I think any preacher likes to hear that when a verse is mentioned. I love that. Secondly, I love seeing children at church. Young children, old children, everybody in between. And thirdly, I really like seeing full pews. That is just nice when we can all assemble together. And we all, this morning, have one goal in mind. We want to learn more about God and His Word. And we want to be more faithful to Him in the process. This morning I have written a lesson entitled, If You Love Me. And as is common, when I have a great idea that I think of for a sermon, it seems about 6 to 8 months after the fact do I actually get around to preaching it, because I have so many things that I want to talk about, and there are so many things in the Bible that need to be preached on and want to be preached on. And the brainchild for this lesson, I'll tell you, happened when we were studying Exodus back on our Sunday mornings a whole book ago, a whole quarter ago, if you will. So it's been that long that this lesson has been brewing. So if you really enjoy it, then that's great. It simmered long enough. And if you don't enjoy it, oh well, I preached it anyway. That's kind of where we're at. It's entitled, If You Love Me. You know, the love, and I ran this through a computer program that counts this, because I didn't flip through every page in my Bible. But the program tells me that love appears some 442 times, the actual word love itself. Not charity, not anything else, just specifically the four-letter word love. 442 times in the Bible. You know, love is one of the first things that we learn, both in life, because we have parents that love us and family members that love us. So we're familiar early on in life with the concept of love. And it's also one of the very first things that we learn about in the Bible. Now, it may not come across that way first time you read through it, but then you go back and you see just how much God loved mankind, that He created everything for Him and literally spoke it into existence. But love is one of the first things we learn. And the golden text of the Bible, as many people have called John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The golden text of the Bible puts on a pedestal with a spotlight. It showcases the love, the true love that God has for us. You know, if we stop and consider just how much God loves us, then we should always be willing to do His commands. If we really stop and think everything He's done for us, the only logical conclusion is to do His commands. This morning, what I want us to do is I want us to examine this phrase, If You Love Me. And there are three main passages, so there are three main points of this sermon. But I'll go ahead and tell you now, in the first one, which I've already read to you, God doesn't specifically say, If You Love Me, in that order. But let's look, number one, at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. Exodus 20 and verse 6, God is speaking. We learn that from chapter 20 and verse 1. God says, And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What's the context here? Every time a preacher mentions Exodus 20 or you see it as a cross-reference, I want you to instantly think Ten Commandments. Because that's what God is giving to Moses here in the 20th chapter. He's gone up on Mount Sinai, or Mount Horeb, or the Mount of God in the 19th chapter. And in the 20th chapter, the Bible says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, that brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And then he proceeds to give his 10 commands that set the groundwork for the Mosaic Law, or the Old Testament Law. We see the first four, which is verses 3 through 11, talk about how we treat God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, and thou shalt not make any graven images. Don't bow down to them. Don't take the Lord thy God in vain, and keep the Sabbath. So the first four talk about how we deal with God. And then the last six, that's verses 12 through 17, how we treat man. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. Dealing with God first, and how we treat our fellow man. But I want you to note what God says, and I'm going to back up actually to verse 5. He's just talked about not making any graven image. He says, "Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Now, although God doesn't specifically say, "if you love me," but if you notice, if we rearrange that sentence, that verse, he says, "if you love me and keep my commandments, I'm going to show mercy to you for many generations." Is that not what he says? If we just kind of rearrange that a little bit. Friends, I want you to note something with all of God's commandments. Is they're not too difficult to understand. In fact, they're relatively easy to understand. Hold your place there in Exodus and go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. God's commands are not difficult. They're understandable to anyone who can logically place pieces of information together. 1 John 5, 2, "By this we know the love of God. We love the children of God when we love God and when we keep His commandments. For the love of God, that we keep His commandments, His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." That's one of the verses we get the basis for our song, "Faith is the Victory That Overcomes the World." Notice what John says there in the middle of those verses. Verse 3 says, "His commands are not grievous." They're not too difficult for us to do. In fact, they're relatively easy. And if you pattern your life around following God's commands, they get easier and easier and easier to do, to the fact where you'll wake up one day and you'll realize, "Well, I'm not even really thinking that I'm following God's commands. This is just the way that I live my life now. I don't have to worry about that." But I'll tell you right now, you will meet some people in the world and they'll say, for example, some of God's commands are difficult. People will. Go with me to Matthew 5. I'll show you one that they have an issue with. Of course, I guess I could have just gone through the Ten Commandments, but Matthew 5 and verse 27. And Jesus here is quoting one of the Ten Commandments. But I'll tell you this, and I want you to understand this plain and simple. The person that enjoys having a sexual relationship with every person that he or she meets on this earth, they find Matthew 5, 27 difficult. Watch this. Jesus says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time." What's that mean? Jesus says, I'm quoting the Old Testament. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, when we just read this, that's not a hard verse to grasp. But the people who enjoy that sin, they say this is a hard command to follow. And they say, "Well, we can't do this." They're really saying, "I don't want to do this because it's going to make me stop doing what I'm doing in my life." Let's do another example. And I could go through, spend the rest of probably this year with examples, but just one more. The person that likes to go out and play the Powerball and the scratch-off and the lottery, for instance, they have a hard time with Matthew 6 and verse 24, where Jesus Christ says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hold to the one and love the other, or hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon, or you cannot serve God in riches. You cannot serve God in the world." Kind of like one of the articles in the bulletin. You can't stand on hot and cold and say, "Well, in the middle, I'm okay." But there's other passages that just a couple more came to mind. One's Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And one more that these people say are hard, and like I said, this is just what came off the top of my head, was 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Where Paul tells Timothy, he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, the person that loves money so much, they're going to go out and gamble and try to get more money and try to get more money. They're going to find these passages like 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. They say, that's too difficult for me to understand. Really what they're saying is, I don't want to give up the sinful behavior that this verse is teaching against. And by the way, if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, make sure you know what is the root of all evil. It's not money. It's the love of money. The love of money. We need money to survive. I'm not saying money's wrong. I've got money in my pocket right now. But the love of money, when you start coveting that over everything else, there's your problem. These passages wouldn't be difficult if the people would just stop the activity that says, God says, don't do. So God's commands aren't grievous. So when God gives His Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, He says, if you follow them, and if you love me, I'll show you mercy. That's a promise from God. You know, we need God's mercy every day of our lives. In fact, there will never come a day when we won't need the mercy of God. God commended His love toward us, Romans 5:8, and that while we're sinners, Christ died for us. That's the mercy and grace of God. God says, if you follow my commandments, I'm going to give you grace. But I want you to note something that we're going to see in all three passages. In order to receive the blessing of God, you're going to have to keep all His commandments. And we see that from the very beginning with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, etc., etc., on down today. God's promises are all true. But we can't pick and choose which of God's commands we want to do if we want to be pleasing to Him. And we'll circle back around to that. But there's one other passage I want us to look, and it's in Deuteronomy under this point. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10. Duo is second. Onomy means law. So literally, when Moses is recounting and re-giving the law a second time so they have it all concise, I want you to know nothing has changed. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10, God says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. If you love God and keep His commandments, He says, you will receive His blessings. Here in the Old Testament, He's talking about His mercy. That's point number one, if you love me, given the Ten Commandments. Point number two may be the one that popped in your mind when you saw the title over there. That's found in John chapter 14. And verse 15. John 14 and 15. You may be able to quote this verse. It's short. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's not a grievous thing to understand. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's two things I want us to note. First, as an aside, He says, me in verse 15, that's Jesus the Christ. Verse 16, He says, I will pray the Father, that's God, that He will send the Comforter, who is the Spirit of truth, verse 17. So there's three verses, where you see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all working together. And that's not even in my notes. That's just a little aside for you. In my notes, and you may want to write it in yours, I wrote John 14, 15, - a lesson in Greek. You don't have to know Greek to make it into heaven, to even be deemed a biblical scholar, but I do want to share something with you. That word if, that starts out verse 14 and verse 15, but especially verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are two words for if in the Greek language. The first one is spelled E-I, and it's pronounced I. E-I. That means maybe it is, maybe it isn't. There's a little sense of doubt. If, E-I. Look with me to Matthew 4, and I think you'll see this on great display here. Matthew chapter 4, the temptations of Christ. Matthew 4 and verse 3, the tempter comes to Christ and he says, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Now what he's really saying is, maybe you are the Son of God. Maybe you aren't the Son of God. But if you are, command these stones that they be made bread. Not real certain about this, but he is still trying to tempt Christ. Go down to verse 6. Once again, Satan says, "If thou be the Son of God," maybe he is, maybe he isn't. That's what Satan says. "Cast thyself down," and Satan's going to misapply scripture. "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone." And he says, it's written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So the first word for if, E-I, you just pronounce it I, and it means maybe. Could be, could not be. But your second word for if is E-A-N. Or an. E-A-N. And it means since. Because so. It's true. Notice what, stay with me here in verse 9. "And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now, Satan didn't have the ability to give this, but nonetheless, he says, "I will give you all these things when you bow down." If, that is a certainty. He says, if conditions are met, if you bow down, when you bow down, Satan says, "I'll give you all these things." And this is true without a shadow of a doubt. So as we go back to John 14, well, let's see which one of these Christ says. Of course, I know the answer. You may know this as well. Does Christ say, "Maybe you love me, maybe you don't, you'll keep my commandments"? No. Christ says, "If," or "since," better translated, "since you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Let's keep going our lesson in Greek. Love, if you love me. Four main types of love in the Bible. You may have encountered this. You have agape love. That's love, especially the type of love that we call charity. You have eros, which is a mostly of the sexual passion, where we get erotic from eros. Philia, that's affectionate regard, one to another, friendship. That's why Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. It's taken from the root word of philia. And store, which means familial love, like the love I have for my mother and for my father. It's that kind of love. Well, in the Greek, Jesus says, "Since you love me," that's the love that God has. That's that agape love. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Since we love God, we will keep his commandments. So that brings us to keep. Keep in Greek is tereo, T-E-R-E-O. You don't have to know that. But keep means to guard from loss or injury. You're not going to let it go no matter who comes up against you. When we talk about keeping God's commands, we're doing them all, and we're not letting any of them go. We do not have a choice, and I want you to make sure you understand this, as I'm telling this for myself as well. We don't have a choice of which of God's commands we want to do. Let's say we like gambling. I'll just stay on that one, for instance. I can't choose to say, "Well, you know, God said don't do this, but I don't want to do those commands because I'd rather do this other activity." No. If we're going to keep all of God's commands, we're going to have to keep them all. It's what Jesus Christ says. There is no such thing as cafeteria-style religion. You can't get your tray and go down and say, "Well, I want one of that. I don't want that, but I want this and that." He says you're going to do it all, or you're going to do none of it. "Not everyone that saith to me," Matthew 7, 21, "Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which sent me. For many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out many devils? Have we not done many wonderful works?" And he'll say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 7, 21 through 23. We can't say, "Well, Lord, I've been doing good, and I've been doing most of your commands." He says, if you're not doing them all, I don't know who you are. Brethren, faithful people of God have always been command keepers. That's our second verse. Our third, our final passage is also found in John. John 21, 15 through 18. We are here at the end of the book of John. And this should seem familiar to you. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. For verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whithersoever thou goest. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. That's where our song that I had Dad lead right before I got up here, that's where this comes from. Now the events in this episode happen after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important for us to note, go back with me to Matthew 26 very quickly, because if we don't understand the events of Matthew 26, what Jesus says to Peter in John 21 makes no sense. Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, right after he has instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, All shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men should be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, Though I would die with thee, I will not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. And then Christ is arrested. And as we jump ahead to verse 69 of this passage, Peter sat without at the palace. John's also close by. John's account tells us this. And a damsel came unto him, saying, You were with those of Galilee. But Peter denied, saying, I do not know what you're saying. And then when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, saying, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And guess who decided to crow at that moment? The rooster. Immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and he wept bitterly. So that's happened, and Peter just feels so remorseful, because Luke's account tells us that Peter looks up as soon as he denies that third time, and the rooster crows, and he can see Christ in there being tried. And he's upset at himself. Now notice what Jesus says in John chapter 21. You can find it interesting, because I do, that Peter denied Christ three times. And how many times does Jesus ask Peter if you love me? He says three times. And I can only imagine on the first time, maybe Peter didn't make the correlation. And he says, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then the second time, maybe Peter's thinking, Was he not listening to me? Did he not know? I just told him yes. And that third time, the Bible tells me Peter's grieved. Because Peter realizes that he denied the Lord three times. And now Christ is making sure. He says, If you love me, feed my sheep. Or take care of the flock, feed the church, grow the church, Peter. And that's what we sang in our song. And so that's our third point. If you love me, what will you do? You'll feed my sheep. If we daily love Jesus, and if we truly love him, and we will keep his commandments, and we will follow them. That was true under the Old Testament law. In the book of Exodus. It's true, we're not under the Old Testament, but he said it twice in the book of John. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What has he commanded for us today? He has commanded that we be children of his. And to do that, we must hear the gospel. We believe that it's true. Jesus says, John 8:24, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. After we believe, we must repent. Luke 13:3, also verse 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. After we repent, that's a change in thought results in a change in action. We must confess publicly before a group such as this, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then upon that confession, we're baptized. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, Romans 6:3-4, Galatians 3:27. After that, we are a new creature alive in Christ. And then guess what we do? Since we're keeping His commandments, we're remaining faithful in death, we need to feed His sheep. We need not only be a Christian, but try to help other Christians as well. Now, the question is yours. Do you love Him? Do you love Him more than the rest of the world? If you do, you know what you need to do. And if you don't love Him more than the rest of the world, I would ask you to reconsider your priorities. Because the world is going to perish, and everything in it is going to perish, but Christ is eternal. And we can have an eternal home in heaven if we're faithful to Him. If you love Him, keep His commandments. If you've not obeyed the gospel, why not consider doing so this very hour? Everything is prepared. It is ready. We would love to assist you in obeying the gospel. Maybe you need to repent of your sins and come back before it's everlasting. If you love Him, keep His commandments. If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.